So this is Mark Jide and Barry Adams, Father Hardtop TV's weekly webcast, and it's Wednesday, February the 7th, 2018. And today, Mark and I are going to be talking about our Father's great love for the world. And yeah, that's always a great topic. And so I just trust that we'll have something to say. But before we start, I'll just pass it on to Mark, and you can just open in prayer, maybe, and then we'll see where we go.
Well, thank you, Father. Thank you once again, Father, for your great love for us. And we just thank you that your mercies are new every morning, yeah, that your faithfulness is great, and that you're always good.
Yeah.
And Father, whatever today's been like, whatever yesterday was like, whatever tomorrow's looking like, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that sameness is goodness and love and graciousness and mercy and compassion. And Father, we just want to enjoy you more and go deeper in all of that tonight.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, my brother. As always, leading up to our webcasts, we have a conversation via text usually a few days before, and just to have just to get a sense of what perhaps we should talk about. And Mark actually came up with the idea that we should perhaps talk about the Father's great love for the world. And of course, for anybody who knows what I'm up to these days, I have been up to my ears in a lot of activity creating a new website, fatherlovestheworld.com. And Mark had suggested maybe it might not be a bad idea for us to maybe talk a little bit. It's not about really the website as much as the Father's great love. And of course, it's all tied in. But the first thing that Mark had suggested I do, and if it's okay with everybody, is just to give a little bit of backstory to how this website came about. And the funny thing is that this has been in my heart for, I think, 18 years. And it all started when, after 9/11 in New York City in 2001 in September, and there was a pastor who was working with the rescue workers at Ground Zero, and he was just seeing the devastation of what was happening, just the incredible loss and tragedy that was. And so he contacted us, and he asked if we could send 1,000 Father's Love Letter CDs to the rescue workers at Ground Zero. So, and of course, that was a lot for us at that time to be able to kind of sew into that. But, and of course, I said, okay, well, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. And I said, what do you think Papa said? For Ground Zero. And what do you think the Lord said when I said, well, should I do it, Papa? And of course, at that point, he said, don't just send 1,000 CDs, send 1,000 videos as well. Right. And then, but I just started to let some other people know what we were doing. And we ended up, able to send actually like a tractor trailer full almost of Father's Love Letter resources down to New York City to a bunch of the churches there. It was like, I think it was like 5,000 CDs and 1,000 videos and 50 or 100,000 Father's Loves New York cards. And anyways, to be able to manage it, we created this website, Father Loves New York. And so, because we were working with all these rescue workers, we were working with just some churches that were around Ground Zero. So we wanted to try to manage it. So we created this Father Loves New York website, and we went down there. And if you go to fatherlovestheworld.com, you'll see there's a link for backstory. You can actually read it, and you can see the card. But it was just basically a postcard of Manhattan and where the Twin Towers were. They used to be, we put a big heart, and then we had Father Loves New York. And on the back of the postcard, we had the Father's Love Letter, in entirety. And so we printed up all these cards. We went down there and we prayer walked around Ground Zero. And when we were there, we went there, I think, in the third week in October, and the wreckage was still smoldering. And of course, the military was there, and it just felt like we were in this incredibly sacred, almost like a holy ground. You know, all these people had passed away, and there was all these pictures of people still up who were missing, and so it was just really quite a surreal time for us to be there. And at one point during our handing out these cards, we were right across from Madison Square Garden, and we were handing out these Father Love, New York Father's Love Letter cards, and this wild-eyed Middle Eastern man, bearded guy, just came right up to us. You know, it was really busy, lots of people around, and he just started to prophesy, and he prophesied for every person individually. And one of the things he said at the time was, he just said that God is pleased that you're sharing his love with the city of New York. And then he didn't disappear, like vanish, but he just kind of was lost in the crowd. And there was a small group of us, and we kind of just were staring at each other, kind of wondering, was that an angelic visitation? Or if, you know, we didn't know, but we kind of felt it was something significant. And so when, you know, I don't know what it was, but, you know, when I go back to that moment, I really felt the Father's pleasure. And, you know, this whole idea, this was kind of the birthing of a vision to declare the Father's love to other places, other cities. And you know, and it wasn't long after that that some other people were carrying this vision and to declare the Father's love to their city and the UK quite a bit and the United States. And and so then the Father's Love Letter was being delivered to every home in different communities around the world. And it was at that time I actually, you know, we were talking about Father Loves Each City, that, you know, I secured the domain name Father Loves the World. And in the early, 2002, 2003, I created actually a full website, not to the extent that I created just, but one declared the Father's Love for every nation. But it was just absolutely just too overwhelming for me to even get my head around how do we declare the Father's love for the world.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I think the reason why I have carried this vision in my heart all these years is because of John 3:16-17. You know, it's one of the most loved passages of Scripture that we have. That, you know, we have been sharing the gospel, and, you know, of course, if you go to any kind of sporting event, I don't know how it is in other parts of the world, but certainly in North America, you know, that people would be holding up John 3:16 by the goalposts for years. You know, it just this amazing declaration of the love of God, right? And of course, we know what it says, and I just want to read it. And this is, keep in mind, this is Jesus speaking. Right? This is Jesus himself. And oftentimes we don't necessarily kind of have the understanding of this, but it's like the Son of the living God saying this. And he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him." And, you know, this is a much loved passage of Scripture that, you know, and rightly so. But one of the things that I found, you know, and it gets back to this whole idea of the, you know, whether it's a father wound or it's a misconception of the nature of God, that we, in essence, when Jesus says those words, "For God so loved the world," he was referring to his Father. And so the New Testament name of God that Jesus brought us to introduce us to was the name Father. So, in essence, when he says, "For God so loved the world," it's "For my Father so loved the world that he sent me into this world." And so for me, the very essence of this revelation and this declaration of the Father's love is that it's the Father himself who loved the world so much that he sent his Son into the world. And of course, we know that the reason is because we could be reconciled back to his heart. And it's kind of one of those things, we know this, It's like motherhood and apple pie. We all, nobody will disagree with it, but when we actually put the name Father, you know, for the name God, for Father loves the world, and then we understand that it's not, you know, we understand the what and the how oftentimes, but often we don't understand or we don't really sit and think about the why. Mm-hmm. And the Father so desired to be reconciled with us. And because Jesus loved his Father and because he loved us, he said, I'll go, Father. I will take their place so they can come home. And so this whole idea of this Father loves the world, it's just been percolating in my heart for years. And it's just been, every time I touch it, it's like, man, I can't get my head around this, you know, and that's how it's been for all these years. So here I am. And this is, and I just say this, I mean, Mark and I have been talking, he understands where I'm coming from. But just after New Year's this year, you know, I'm pondering, you know, in not in fear, but just kind of, you know, New Year, what's the Lord got planned? And I'm just kind of pondering, you know, what's next kind of thing. And I'm thinking, well, I was joking with Mark about maybe I might be a Walmart greeter. I have no idea because just, you know, it's a new year and my dance card is free, meaning, you know, I don't have a lot of invitations. So Papa, what are you saying? So that's my headspace. And then just, you know, I found this little, usually moved by images and music and video and, you know, photography, like that stuff stirs me, right? So I find this little video clip that I can customize that, you know, I ended up putting the Father Loves the World around this, and if you go to the website, you can see it. But I thought, I'm just going to play around with that today and see what that would look like. One thing led to another, and within a couple of days, I really felt the Lord say, I want you to revisit that, son. And I'm telling you, you know, at a time when I wouldn't think that he would be saying to do that, I felt like he said, yeah, okay, Pop, let's do it. And then I just kind of dug in, and the Lord gave me all kinds of grace, and now we've got the website up and running. And the thing that I really feel is, and I'm just like, I think if it's only for me, then it's all good. Because, I mean, I have been researching every nation in the world, every group of islands, every territory, every region. And so I've come up with this website that's got a hosting page for everyone. But it's just like been really solidifying this sense, because every time I work on a homepage, I'm declaring the Father's love, you know. So when you said you're going to Poland in 2 weeks, or like for me, it just resonates. Father loves Poland, right? And it's true. It's not just a saying. It's a truth that our Heavenly Father so loves every person on the planet. And so I just think, you know, we wanted to kind of bat around today a little bit, like this whole idea that because one of the things that I've always felt is this criticism, and again, we all get this, and we, you know, bless those who maybe don't understand, but thinking that the Father's love is this message of navel-gazing, and, you know, it just, like, we're just self-centered, and we're just focused on emotional healing, and the truth of the matter is what is resonating right in the very core of my being, and I'm just feeling like I want to shout it from the housetops, is that, like, we are ministers of reconciliation, that God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them, and that we have been charged with that same ministry of reconciliation so that people could be reconciled to the Father through Christ. And it's that restating that simple John 3:16-17. And so for me, I just feel that the very core, the very substance of the gospel message is a Father's love. And I've heard James Jordan talk about it. I've over the years that, like, this isn't just a little, like a teaching, a sliver of teaching, but this is, you know, and even to say, I've been introduced as a Father Heart guy. I've been introduced as a Father Heart specialist, right? And when I hear that, it's part of me goes, yeah, okay. But part of me said, no, this is the gospel. This is the gospel, plain and simple. This is why Jesus came. He came to bring a revelation of his Father, to take our place, to bring us home. And so anyway, enough about me yakking about it, but that's kind of the intro to what we just wanted to talk about with this whole idea of the Father's great love for this world, that is the very essence of the motivation why Jesus came, was because his Father sent him to bring us home. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
That's good, man. You can see that Barry's really excited about this, can't you? You know, and I've over the last month or so, we've been talking about this new website together and how do we do, you know, the technical aspects, how does it work? How do we get this to work and so on? But actually, you know, every time we've spoken about this, Barry's passion has come across. And it, you know, I actually believe it is Barry's passion, but it's more than that. It's the Father's passion. You know, it's the Father's passion to declare his love for the world. And, you know, you read the news, you look at the TV, you look at Facebook or whatever, and there's so much bad news. You know, there's so much judgment, there's so much criticism, there's so much, you know, kind of like survival mentality. And somewhere along the road, the gospel has got lost. And, you know, it's people aren't hearing the good news. And the good news is very simple. As Barry said, God so loved the world, you know, you know, I just want to break that down because that's so true, you know, that he loves the world and he loves all these countries and he wants to declare his love over all of these countries. But you know, you and I know that it's about the one person standing in front of us. Hmm. You know, the people we meet in the supermarket, the people we meet at work, and you know, the people we meet in the street, the people we meet at church, the people wherever, in the coffee shop or whatever. And you know, just as Barry's declaring the Father's love over every nation. You know, I believe we can just stand next to somebody in the supermarket checkout queue or in the petrol station and just quietly inside of us. I mean, you can do it out loud if you want to, but, you know, just quietly inside of us, we can just declare the Father's love over that one person, you know, and just standing next to someone in the shop and say, just quietly inside of us, say, the Father loves you, you know, and I don't know what impact that will have. You know, I love Mike Hammond's van. Mike's got a van which he's converted lovingly to be a sort of camper van. It's a real, you know, work of whatever. I mean, he's really enjoyed doing it. He's loved it, and it's really, really nice. But on the number plate on the back, it's probably on the front as well, but I haven't looked at the front. I was just parked my car behind the back of his van at the weekend, and on the number plate of his car, of the van, he's got the number plate, obviously. And then in small letters, he's got Father loves you. And, you know, I think everybody who's driving behind him is going to get that message if they've got eyes to see. And because, you know, the gospel is not about getting saved to do good works. It's not about, doing anything. It's simply about coming into love. It's coming into the embrace of love. It's actually, you know, it's coming into that love that's existed since the beginning of time. It's we step into that love. You know, it's not, God the Father doesn't turn on his love for you when you become a Christian. He's always loved you. And all we do is we step back into that environment of love. Yeah. And that's the gospel. You know, and as Barry said, it's mothers and apple pie and fish and chips or whatever you might want to say, but we all know it, but I think it's really good for us just to pause and remind ourselves of this, that this is the centrality of the gospel, you know, is to know our Father and to know that he loves us. Jesus says in John chapter 17, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And the whole job that Jesus came to do, the work that the Father gave Jesus to do, was not to come and die, But the work that the Father gave Jesus to do was to come and reveal who the Father was. And Jesus says that very clearly in John 17. And he opens that passage by saying, "This is eternal life, that they know you." And, you know, this is the good news. And this is something that we are so privileged to be a part of. It's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it, the thing that, and when you, Mark, when you said about the person in front of you, right? Like one of the things with the Father's love letter, for those who are familiar with it, when it kind of started to kind of take a life of its own, you know, the Father just really, really grounded me by saying, "Do it for the one," right?
Yeah.
And so many of the encounters that we read of Jesus in the Gospels that have so much impact are when he was with one person. He was with that, you know, Zacchaeus, or the woman with the issue of blood, or the woman caught in the act of adultery. You know, it was these one-on-one encounters. And I do believe that the more that we, at least for me, when I think about, when we start to see through the lens of love more, often we, when we are looking at people, we're looking through kind of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we're judging them, and we for me, it's just being able to come to a place, "Father, I just want to see with your eyes. I just want to see people the way that you see them." And I honestly think that it is as simple as what you said, Mark. It's just, you know, for us to become more and more aware of his love in every moment, you know, when we're, you know, again, when we look at the cashier in the checkout line, or when we're at work, and just, you know, because oftentimes I think we get so caught up in life and we get distracted and that we forget, right? But to be able to kind of center ourselves into the very essence of, you know, keeping the main thing, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14, "Make love your greatest aim," like your great quest, it says in the Amplified. And just to stay there and to you know, like, because even oftentimes, like we were talking about a little bit in chat before we started about Facebook and how oftentimes now on Facebook, which, you know, of course, we're using it the best we can, but, you know, there's all these opinions and judgments and yada, yada, and all this crazy stuff that goes on. And I just think that, you know, it can, if we're not careful and we don't guard our hearts, we can just get caught up into that world. But to be able to, I just think, you know, for me, I'm just saying, "Father, I want to know your heart for people. I want to experience the way that you love Jesus. You love every person on the planet, you know, and so for me, even going through this process with these nations, you know, I mean, we're talking, it's kind of a big thing, you know, when you declare the Father's love over China and, you know, over a billion people there. But it's one at a time. Like God sees each and every one of us. And one of the things that, in my own journey with this, you know, just simply declaring the Father's love, you know, it got to a point, you know, when people would say, "So what's your vision?" And I'd say, "Well, I'd love to see the Father's love letter delivered to every person on the planet." And then they'd ask, you know, how is it going to happen? And I wouldn't have a legitimate, you know, a strategy. I'm just little. And then I'd get, you know, I'd be carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. And it got to a point where I really didn't want to share it anymore, this vision to see the love letter around the world, because I felt responsible of how I was going to manage it. And I just remember the day when the Father spoke to me, and it was out of John 5, 19 and 20, where Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing of himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does." And it was through that passage of scripture, the Father really spoke to me and said, "The vision that you carry to see my love to every person on the planet is not your vision, it's my vision. And I never gave it to you for it to become a burden to you." Yeah. You see, I was starting to feel like I got to do the work. But he then said, "But you're free to tell other people what you see me doing." And I know many of you have heard the story before, but after that, it was like the Father freed me from trying to manage and administrate like a project, but just to declare his love and just trust that he would do the work in the way that, you know, I only needed to tell people what I saw him doing. And as a result of that, you know, I went to Finland for the first time and I was having a school with James and James Jordan, and the host of the school asked me what my vision was, and I just had the freedom of a little kid because I wasn't being responsible. I don't know how God's going to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just little, right? And he said, what's your vision these days? And I said, I just believe that God wants to see the love letter delivered to every home in Finland. You know, and his response was, you do, eh? How's that going to happen? And before I would have felt the weight of the world, and I just said, I don't know. And I smiled. A few days later, he came back to me, and I didn't know that he worked with a large Christian media organization in Europe, and he just said, we're delivering the Father's love letter to every home, or we're delivering a mailing to every home in Finland, and would it be okay if we included the Father's love letter, 2.2 million homes for that Christmas? And, you know, that was kind of the seeds, again, of freedom for me to say, you know what, I don't have to manage how people are going to receive this message. I don't have to try to figure it out. All I need to do is tell people what I see my dad doing.
Yeah.
And I really believe that the very core of his heart, and we can all do this. We can do it at work. We can do it in the grocery store, you know, one-on-one in church, whatever. We can just say, Father, I just wanted to declare what I see you doing. And then just to be able to share that revelation that he really loves us, and he loves us with that love that predates creation. So I don't know. I think it's a lot more simple than sometimes, at least I've made it in the past.
Oh, yeah. I think it is a lot more simple than most of us have made it in the past, Barry. I was just, I've just been thinking of something over the last couple of days, which I think is something that we all kind of slip into a little bit. It's very, very easy for us to bring the Father into our past. You know, the past is there. We know what's happened. We know where we need him. We know what help we needed, and we know what healing we need. And, you know, we can relive and revisit and revise, the what ifs and the what maybes of the past. And we can bring him into the past. That's really easy. We can bring him into the future. You know, we've got our dreams, our visions, and our faith and our hope, and, you know, we can give him our future and, you know, everything else. But I think the thing we find hardest to do is to bring him into our present, is to bring him into today, is to bring him into this moment, and to be aware of his presence in this moment. Mm. You know, I think sometimes we're so caught up with what we're doing each day that it's easy just to get on with the emails and the texts and the shopping list and the list of things we've got to do and the household jobs and, you know, all of the issues that you have to deal with at work and with clients. And, you know, I mean, I got to work this morning and there was a problem in the inbox, you know, and the easiest thing is just to sort of throw yourself at it. You know, get the textbook out and try and work it out. And we just get sort of headlong into the day. And I think we slip into this so easily that we neglect the Father's presence in the present. You know, we can bring him into the past, we can bring him into the future, but he is in our present as well. And, you know, that I think, when we acknowledge that and when we realize that and when we pause to bring him in the present so that we are fully living in the present, you know, we are living in the moment and we catch hold of him in the moment. What that does for us is, It brings us to an incredible place of peace and rest. And it's like you're at the center of the storm where everything can be swirling around you, but you're at peace, you're at rest because you've brought him into the present. And You know, that's something I think that, you know, that's a privilege that we get to enjoy. We get to enjoy our Father being with us in the moment, in the present. You know, his presence is with us every moment of the day. And, you know, it's the air we breathe. And, you know, I think sometimes we miss that. And when we just pause and allow that presence to come into the present moment, it stills and quietens us. And I think, you know, when we are living like that, it makes us much more of an open channel for the Father's love to flow through us to the world around us, you know, and ministering the Father's love is just it's just ministering his presence and letting his, you know, we, it's, I read something that Stephen Hill wrote the other day about John 15, where it's talking about abiding in the vine and producing fruit and, you know, being fruitful and, you know, all that. We've talked about that many times on the webcast, but the thing Stephen said was, he said, being fruitful is not the same as being productive. And he said, productivity comes from your own effort. It's self-generated. But fruit comes from the source. And I thought, yeah, that's so good, because if we are abiding in him, if we're living in him, then his life is flowing through us. And it's his life that produces the fruit in our lives. And I thought, yes, that's so true. We spend so much time trying to be productive. And we end up joining the rat race that everybody else is involved in. If we can stop being productive, we don't even have to worry about being fruitful. Because fruit just happens when you abide in the vine. And you know, our productivity is not going to show the Father's love to the world. But a fruitful life, a life where we live in the flow of his love and his life through us, that's what will show his love to the world. And so I guess I just want to encourage us this evening to remember that he is with us in the present, in this moment. Not just in the past, not just in our futures. Of course, he's in those two things as well, but he's actually with us in the moment. And if we live in the moment, if we live in the present, then I believe that is the key for us to become fruitful. And, you know, productivity is hard work. But bearing fruit when you're living in the source of life, it's the flow of life. So I just encourage us to take hold of that and just say, Father, I want to live in the moment. I want to be with you in the moment.
Well, one of the things that, I mean, of course, it's said at schools quite a bit, which I think it really does kind of put kind of the tip of the spear, I suppose, in that idea is that the Father not only loves you, he's loving you in this moment, right? And I think that's I don't know. I think there is this ocean of his love that we will never exhaust. And the more that we ourselves are able to believe it's true for us, it's the more that it will set our hearts at rest, the more that we will. And of course, when you talk about fruitfulness, right? Different than productivity, the fruit of the Spirit, for the most part, is really a bite is an expression of an internal reality. It's not measure. It's not you don't measure patience. Like it's not like I'm going out there and I'm doing a project and I'm going to measure patience or joy, or peace, or kindness. It's something that is an internal reality that transforms us the more that we believe and receive the Father loving us in the very moment. And I think for me, when we talk about his great love for the world, that to think that the Father loves every person on the planet the same way. Because he only loves one way. He loves with all his heart. He doesn't, you know, in our understanding of love and, you know, our brokenness or our limitations of love, and it's so hard for us to grasp his great love for every person on the planet. And I think that, you know, as Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, he said, as the Father loved me, I have loved you. Remain in my love. And I think the only way that we can really be a manifestation of love to other people is for us to enjoy that love ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's just, I don't, you know, in the midst of an orphan world system and brokenness and fatherlessness and pain and competition and all the things that each and every one of us deal with every day, you know, just to be able to Brother Lawrence said practice his presence, right? But it's really just at the centering of it. Ed Piorek says like there's the central event, the central event where the Father or Jesus comes out of the waters of baptism and then the Father speaks from heaven and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove and this is my Son whom I love and him I'm well pleased. And so I don't know, I guess, you know, my encouragement to us is, of course, to, you know, and when I talk about Father loving the world and his great love and you know, 7+ billion people on the planet, if you don't really get grounded in the simplicity of how he loves me, I could short circuit in a hurry. But, you know, my encouragement for all of us, you know, and for me, I'm looking at myself on the screen, so I'm talking to me, that we could just stay in that place of receiving his love, living in love. And then when we go to that grocery store, it's just, we're loving people with the love that we're receiving it right in that very moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, you started in John 3:16, Barry, but 1 John 3:16 as well is, you know, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Mm. You know, it's easy to take that on as a law. But actually, it's just the flow of life. You know, we love because he first loved us. And I remember Henry Nouwen saying that, you know, what does it mean when we talk about returning to our first love, going back to our first love? And I always used to think that was a silly thing to say because, you know, I love my wife now, 32 years later. I love her much more than I did when we first met. You know, and I don't want to return to my first love. I want this to grow. And, you know, and it's like, I didn't think when I became a Christian as a 10-year-old boy, it had anything to do with love. You know, someone preached the gospel and I responded and that was that. You know, I don't want to return to that. I know I love him much more now than I did then. But Henry Nouwen said, when we return to our first love, he said, it's just this, it's just we return to the fact that he first loved us. Mm. And we only can love because he first loved us. Mm. And to me, that puts it in perspective, you know, and that the only way we can love one another, the only way we can love this world is because we ourselves have received and are living in this great love. And 1 John 3 starts off, you know, see what kind of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God. And that is who we are. Mm. You know, that's the gospel, isn't it? That's the fruit of the gospel, that because of his love, we've become his children. Mm. You know, he really is our Father. Mm. And it's just, you know, it just reminds me that It's a relationship we're talking about. It's not a duty, it's not a job, it's not a, it's nothing else, but it's a relationship.
Yeah, and as James Jordan says, that it's a story of a father. The Bible is the story of a father who lost his kids in the garden, and then a son who came to get us back, right? And and when we start to understand that, I really believe that the more that this revelation of love transforms us, the more that we will grow in the spirit of sonship, which is the spirit of the Son. And we will be carrying our Father's heart wherever we go. Wherever Jesus went, he was a manifestation of his Father. And so, when he said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And I truly believe that this revelation of love, that it does, and again, it's not workspace, it's not duty based, it's not like trying to copy the works of Jesus. But I really believe that the more that we are transformed ourselves and to really understand our Father's heart and his longing to be reconciled with every person on the planet. He is not willing that one should perish, but all should come to repentance. The more that we understand that that's the very core of the gospel message, I really do believe that we see ourselves as ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of Christ. Just in calling people. So to me, the greatest evangelistic message on the planet is the Father's love. And that Jesus died to secure us that place so we could be back home reconciled to his heart, to the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. And so I kind of wonder in the days to come whether, when we talk about kind of revival going across the world, I guess my prayer, my heart, and again, the fatherlovestheworld.com is an expression of that. It's just that there would just be a manifestation of the Father's love around the world. And that people would come to Christ and they would be able to have homecomings one at a time, right? Because everybody gets their own party. I mean, Jesus said in John 15, he said that the angels celebrate, right? Luke 15:7, more when one sinner repents than over 99 that don't need to repent. So I don't know about you, but my heart, more and more, the more I'm just being trying, doing my best, like I forget, get centered again, but just to say a little, just to declare my Papa's love to an entire world. Well, could we maybe take some time just to maybe pray and just encourage you guys that, for all of us, that we would just be so in awe of our Father's great love. How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that's what we are. So maybe we should put the music on. Yeah, so Father, we just come before you. Thank you that there's nowhere we could go to escape your presence. You're before us, you're behind us, you're within us, you're loving us every moment of every day. You loved us before creation and you will love us throughout eternity. And Father, not only do you love us, but you love every person on planet Earth the same way. So Father, we just ask by just the power of your Holy Spirit that you would expand our capacity personally to receive your love.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Papa.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Father, may that be the one thing that we long for and that we desire as well, that we would just be enveloped in your home, in your house, in your heart, that we would be wrapped in that amazing blanket of everlasting love. Father, would you just increase the capacity of our hearts to receive love? Father, we're just not very good at it, really. So we just ask that you would increase our capacity to receive love.
Mm-hmm.
To live in love. That you've lavished upon us. You've not trickled it or sprinkled it upon us, but Father, you've lavished it upon us because you are a lavish, generous Father. And we just thank you. Father, would you open our eyes to see the people in front of us, the one, the two, the three, the people in front of us who need a declaration of your love spoken over their lives.
Yes.
Father, whether we do that silently or in our hearts, or whether we take our courage in both hands and just say it to them with words, that Father, we would be the ambassadors of your love, that we would declare your love into this broken world.
Yes.
Father, everybody else seems to be declaring everything else into the world, and your voice is almost lost. But Father, may we be a people with our eyes open and our ears open, who can declare your love for the nations, for the towns, for the cities, for the villages, for the neighborhoods.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, Father, amen.
Mm-hmm.